feel better than anything else.
So, one of my professors, when I was an undergrad, used to intentionally give the worst class of the year on the day of course evaluations, because you know, that way he guaranteed that he would not be assigned large classes the following year. So unfortunately, U of T switched to an online evaluation system, and you get some sort of like 2 weeks to do the evaluations, and I'm not sure I can go consistently lousy for 2 weeks. However, I'll do my best today. I hope I'm kidding, but I'm not sure, because this is material that I'm not very comfortable with myself. Anyway, Jordan, in the tutorial last week, Tuesday, told you about regular singular points, basically from the how to solve perspective. Okay, so he wrote formulas. Well, I write formulas too, but I think what I want is only to amend a little bit what he did and tell you a little bit about the why and what is the qualitative output from the things that he said. Okay? And after that, and that will be the end of power series, and after that we will switch to entirely qualitative analysis. So to qualitative analysis that does not mention power series. Anyway, the first thing, so mostly there will be, I will be talking about on two equations. So one is the analog of what Jordan was talking about, but one order less. So first order equations rather than second order equations. And then I'll tell you why, and why only little, why we talk about it only a little bit, and how you study it, and what is the qualitative behavior. And then we'll switch to the more interesting case, which is the case that Jordan covered. And I will tell you again a little bit about why, and why is this the right generalization of that. And again, a little bit about how, but this is mostly done by Jordan, and then a little bit about the qualitative behavior of the solutions. So, okay, that's the plan. So, let's start working on it. Topic one is, again, I have an equation of the form xy prime plus py is equal to zero. So, by the way, from this point on, mostly when I rewrite, unless I say otherwise, when I write P, Q, or R, they will always be functions, even if I don't write explicitly the variable, as I did here. Okay? So P here is a function, and I want to study this equation. And I should say here that also that P is analytic. And analytic means has a convergent power series expansion around the point I care about. The point I care about, unless I say otherwise, will be zero. And around means with some positive radius of convergence, not necessarily infinity. But at least, you know, at least epsilon away from zero, it should converge. So why? The why is because somebody, no, it's not, sorry, that was planned long ago. But in particular, the why is an answer to a question that was asked by somebody who was sitting over there about 28 weeks ago. Maybe just 8 weeks ago, okay? And the question was something like, I wrote, let's write the most general linear equation, and it was something like R y prime plus P y is equal to zero. And I said, let's divide by R y prime plus p over r y is equal to zero. And then the question was, what if you're dividing by zero? Okay? So if you're dividing by zero along an interval, so if r is identically equal to zero in some interval, then that's just an equation of degree one less, meaning an algebraic equation. And it's not interesting. And you know, I have nothing to say about it. Sort of, there's no difficulty with dividing by zero because you just don't divide by zero, you solve an easier equation. Okay? But what if r is equal to zero at a single point, and that's the point you're interested in? Okay? So what if the picture, what if the coefficient r looks like something like this? Okay, it has a zero exactly where you're interested in. So near zero, it's a fully legitimate equation and it will have a solution. Okay, so it will have a solution that might reach, so well, it's a linear equation. So it has a solution wherever the coefficients are defined. So it will have a solution up to the point zero. Maybe at the point zero itself, it will not have a solution. But how will it behave near zero? I still might want to know. So in fact, the question was asked in class, maybe in one sentence, and I said, wait until we come to regular singular points, and that is the point. Okay, now we're doing it. Okay, so instead of studying the usual linear equation, which is, so I guess I'm now answering the y question. So instead of studying the usual linear equation, which is y prime plus py is equal to zero, I'm switching, I'm artificially putting a zero, or a zero on the r, so I'm writing xy prime plus py is equal to zero, and that's the equation that I want to study now. Okay? Now, why x? Why not something else? So basically, x is the simplest conceivable zero you can have. Okay? So you can have worse situations, right? You can have x squared, and x squared is sort of a deeper zero. Well, it's a multiple zero. Okay? So maybe it would be interesting to study this too, but we start with the simplest. Okay? And the other point you can ask is why x rather than why not some other function that has a simple zero at zero? So, I mean, why not, or what about, or what if the equation is back again ry prime plus py is equal to zero, but now with r of zero equal to zero, and it's a simple root. Okay? So the answer is, well, if you had this, you could always multiply it by x over r. Okay? If r has just a simple root, then x over r should make sense. Okay? Or let me be more precise, the class of things that we're studying is the class in which x over r makes sense. Okay? Anyway, and if you do this, you'll get the equation xy prime plus xp over r y is equal to zero. And this is an equation of the type that I'm proposing to study, but with a different p. So alternatively, instead of saying that we're studying this equation, you could say that we are studying this equation. So we're studying, so equivalently to saying that we're studying this equation is to say that we're studying equations of the form ry prime plus py is equal to zero, where after you do this change of, after you multiply by x over r, you come to something of the previous form. In other words, where xp over r is analytic, has
power series expansion. And one situation where xp over r will have a power series expansion is if p itself, if p has a power series expansion, and x has a power series expansion, sorry, and r has a power series expansion, which begins with zero. Okay? So whose constant term is zero? Because then, well, then r over x will have a power series expansion which begins with a constant term, and the inverse will have a power series expansion, and the whole thing will have a power series expansion. So, okay, the next question is, why are we studying this equation only a little bit? Okay, I will study it, but only for a few minutes. And the answer is, well, I don't think I want to write it. I guess there are two answers. One, it's not terribly exciting. You study it, you solve it, you're done. You get the, you learn the behavior near zero, and you go home happily. And the other reason is that, in fact, it's a first-order linear equation, and this we did on the first class, or maybe the second. Okay, typically we can solve it by a formula, or often we can write a formula for the solution. So we don't really need techniques, okay? So it's only a warm-up for the next type. Okay, so how? Okay, so how do we study this equation? So let's get some intuition for what should happen by saying, well, okay, if p of x is analytic, let's replace it by its zeroth order approximation. Okay? So replace it by p0, by its first coefficient. So by the way, maybe I should add, my assumption is that p is analytic, and this means that p of x is equal to sum pn x to the n, n goes from 0 to infinity, and this will be my definition of pn. Okay, pn will always denote the coefficient of p, the coefficients of the power series expansion of the Taylor expansion of p. Likewise, when I will need the expansion of q, the coefficients will be qn. When if ever I will need the expansion of r, the coefficients will be rn. So anyway, first try, or first let's study an equation that looks approximately like ours equation. Meaning, the equation xy prime plus p0y is equal to zero. Okay? So basically, I replaced the original equation by the first approximation, or the zeroth approximation of p. Okay, by the first term in its Taylor expansion. So here, p0 is a constant. Okay? Anyway, this one we know how to study. Okay, this is, well, it's not quite constant coefficient, but it's simple enough linear equation, so we can just solve it on the side, okay? You know, let me cheat and tell you what the answer is. The answer is, the solution is, oops, the solution is y is equal to x to the negative p0, okay? I'll often write it as x to the alpha, I guess. So alpha is equal to negative p0. Okay? If you don't believe me, just check. Okay? This, by the way, this is sort of a lovely combination that occurs sometimes in mathematics. Differentiate and multiply by x. Right? When you differentiate, it lowers the power of x by 1. Multiplying by x raises it up back again. So you'll get the same power of x, but you'll pull down the power itself. Right, so I mean, if you apply this operation, differentiation and multiplication by x to x to the n, you'll simply get n x to the n. You always, it just multiplies by the power. So apply it to negative p0, you'll get negative p0y, and then you're adding p0y, and you get 0. So I just checked that this is the solution. Anyway, so that inspires this. So that inspires us to guess. So for the general equation, or sorry, the original equation, xy prime plus py is equal to 0, where p is a whole power series, we'll just try to multiply this y by a power series. So I will try y is equal to x to the alpha sum a n x to the n. Okay, so I'm just replacing the original, I'm just replacing the previous solution with the same thing multiplied by an arbitrary power series. So I'm essentially looking near the thing that was a solution of an equation near our equation. Okay, it completely makes sense. And I should say that this is can be rewritten as sum a n x to the n plus alpha, okay, where n goes from 0 to infinity. And I should say that if I really want to be near the previous solution, I should take a0 to be 1. In fact, I should take it to be any constant. I could take it to be any constant difference in 0. I may as well take it to be 1. Okay? Okay. So now, in this equation, so now, compare coefficients of x to the n plus alpha. Okay? So basically, take this y, substitute it into here, and compare the coefficients of x to the n plus alpha. You will get, so from the y prime multiplied by x, okay, sorry. Take this, differentiate it, and multiply by x, it will just pull down the coefficient, the power, n plus alpha. Right? How do I get x to the n plus alpha from p times y? Well, the alpha will always come from the y. I don't have to worry about it. Okay? But the n could be split, so a part of the x to the n could be coming from p, and another part could be coming from y. So I'll get the sum over all possibilities. J goes from 0 to n. What do I get? So either I get x to the j from p, in which case the coefficient is pj, and then I should get x to the n minus j from y, or n minus j plus alpha from y, and then the coefficient is this. So this is the equation that I get. I hope I can do it as quickly as I did. Okay? I mean, I'm doing it quickly on the assumption that we have some experience in doing it. Okay? Otherwise, you have to gain this experience. I'm not sure what else to say. Okay?
There should be an AN.
Sorry?
There should be an AN.
Oh, sorry? There should be a what?
An N plus alpha, bottom left corner.
A what? No. There should be a word, a what?
A sub n.
A sub n?
Does it just derivative and coefficients?
Oh, here, of course. I took the derivative. I took the power without taking the coefficient. Okay, thank you. Good. I guess I want to turn it into a recursion relation for an. So where does an appear here? It appears here, and it also appears here when j is equal to 0. So I want to split away the sum, the part where j is equal to 0. So I will get n plus alpha plus p0 times an. Okay, this is from the term with j equals 0 here. And let me move all the other terms to the other side. So I'll get that this is equal to negative the sum as j goes from 1 to n of pj a n minus j. So basically, we or alternatively, a n is equal to 1 over n plus alpha plus p0 times, no, sorry, I want to say it differently. Sorry. So there are two cases, okay? If n is equal to 0, well, on the one hand, on the right hand side, I will be getting 0 because it's an empty sum. So I will be getting 0. On the other hand, on the left hand side, I will be getting n plus alpha plus p0 multiplied by 1. Sorry, 0 plus alpha plus p0 multiplied by 1 because n is equal to 0. And it's multiplied by 1 because I wanted the coefficient of a, I wanted a0 to be 1, okay? So the moral from this is alpha is equal to negative p0, which I knew already, okay? And otherwise, so if n is greater than 0, then this becomes a real recursion, and it becomes an is equal to 1 over n plus alpha plus p0, minus this times sum goes from j, as sum as j goes from 1 to n of pj a n minus j. And I suppose that's the end of the story. Can't I cancel alpha and p0?
In the denominator?
I guess I could. Yes, sorry, it's even simpler. You're right. Okay.
Yeah, it'll be bothering.
What?
You'll be bothering.
Yeah, no, you're right. I just failed. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, a few comments. First of all, there is never a problem here. Okay, if n is greater than 0, I never divide by 0. Second, it's the same type of recursion relation. In fact, it is the same recursion relation as in Fuchs's theorem. So when we looked at Fuchs's theorem, we also had the main point, the thing that allowed Fuchs's theorem to work, was that an was some expression of a very similar nature divided by n. Okay, so basically, well, this division by n allowed us to say that when n is large, well, the rest is somehow small. Okay? So, without going through the same Fuchs's theorem, again, I will just say that Fuchs's theorem still hold. Fuchs's theorem still holds with the same conclusion. Namely, y of x, well, y is not analytic. The function y of x is not analytic because it may involve a fractional power. It may involve alpha, so it may involve a fractional power of x. Okay? But the power series of part of y of x is analytic. So y of x is equal to x to the alpha times a convergent power series. And I think that's all I have to say about this. Oh, sorry. And then the last thing is qualitative behavior. So, qualitative behavior. So, again, without formalizing it, so without making it a rigorous statement, I would just say that near x equal to zero, y looks like, so, well, if it's a convergent power series, then near x equal to zero, it's dominated by its zeroth term. Okay? I mean, I can make it precise, right? In 157, you had formulas for the remainder. I could copy the formulas for the remainders to here. But again, it's not terribly interesting. The point is that near x equals to zero, you get a power series which is whose behavior is dominated by its first term, and its first term is 1. So y behaves like x to the alpha. Okay? So that might be some fractional or negative power of x. Okay? But it's still a power behavior. Okay? So in other words, if you have a differential equation of the form that I wrote, okay, and it, so of the form xy prime plus p y is equal to zero, then, well, zero is going to be a singular point. Near zero, you will still get a power series a behavior like a power of x. So maybe it will look like square root of x, the solution, or maybe it will look like 1 over x, but it will always look like a power of x. So this is x to the 1 half, this is x to the negative 1. Okay? And maybe very, very brief example. So, what does y look like near x equal to zero if I just made up some equation. Xy prime plus e to the x minus e to the minus x divided by x. Times y is equal to zero. Okay? I guess this is one of my favorite functions in mathematics. I will not explain why, but it's a function that occurs in various strange places. Okay? Anyway, sorry, I messed up. I wanted it to be plus. Oh yeah, sorry, I wanted it to be plus, and then it's not my favorite function in mathematics. I'm sorry. Okay. With minus, you can just divide. Right, had I put minus, the constant term here on the denominator, in the numerator would be zero, and you could just divide, everything would be analytic,
and I have nothing interesting to say. So I have to make it a plus. Anyway, this equation, well, again, this is equivalent to xy prime plus e to the x plus e to the negative x, y is equal to 0. This I can write as xy prime plus, so let's write the power series expansion of that. So I believe the constant term is 2. The linear term is x plus minus x, which is 0. The quadratic term is x squared divided by 2 plus x squared divided by 2, so plus x squared. The cubic term is 0. The fourth order term I don't know and I don't care, and in fact I don't even care about the quadratic term. The point is that p0 is equal to 2, so y behaves like x to the alpha, which is x to the negative 2. So the solution looks like, well, like x to the negative 2, so it shoots up to infinity, I suppose. Well, I have nothing else to say. Okay, next. So, now, okay, having said all there is to say about regular singular points in order 1, let's move on to, I failed to give it a name, but we were talking about regular singular points. So now let's move on and talk about regular singular points in degree 2, in order 2. So topic 2 will be to raise the order. So I will, instead of talking about this equation, I will talk about x squared y double prime plus x p y prime plus q y is equal to 0. Okay, and the first few questions are, why did I choose to generalize in this particular case? Okay, why x squared here? Okay, this equation would be singular enough if there was an x here, right? So why did I skip one, right? If there was a simple x here, still it would have a singularity at x equal to 0. So why not study xy double prime plus py prime plus Q y is equal to 0. Okay? So the answer is, because if you take this equation and you multiply it by x, you'll get x squared y double prime plus xp y prime plus xq y is equal to 0. Call xq q tilde, and you're back to the previous equation. So if we succeed in studying this one, we've already succeeded doing this one, and it turns out that it's not any harder. Okay, so the only reason why I'm not studying this one is because I can do better at the same, for the same money. Okay? Next question, why not study? So, you see, here, okay, so x squared y double prime plus, so why did I put this x here? Okay, I mean, so I want to, so the singularity is somehow determined by the coefficient of the y double prime. Why did I give myself a discount and made the coefficient of y prime also vanish? So why not study the case in which the coefficient of y prime does not necessarily vanish? Okay? So the answer is in exactly the opposite direction. It just turns out to be too hard. So If you write the recursion relation for this, so I will not do it. But if you try to solve, you can pretend to solve by power series. So you write. So you write y as a power series, and you substitute it in, you write the recursion relation. Yeah, recursion is 1s or 2s? 2s. 1. Okay, sorry. So you write the recursion relation, and it turns out, it ends up having the opposite character of this relation. So if instead of looking like an is equal to 1 over n times some mess, it becomes an is equal to n times some mess. Again, you can write this mess explicitly. It's not that hard. It's the same level of difficulty as what we will actually do. But there's no point, okay? But the point here is that this means that an, instead of having sort of factorials in the denominator, will have factorials in the numerator. Okay? And this means that the power series essentially never converges. Okay, so you can ask yourself then, okay, but you know, what if in real life I get this equation and not the cheap discount? Okay, and not the cheap version. What if I get what if this is what I get? Okay, the answer is, well, I don't use power series, I use other techniques, and that's what we will do later. Okay, so later we will have techniques that will allow us to manage also equations of this kind, under certain conditions, okay? But for the current, for today, that's going to fail. Okay. So, okay, next question. what about... What about something like R y double prime plus P y prime plus Q y is equal to 0? So if I get an equation like this, when do I say that it has a regular singular point? So the answer is, well, just you bring it to that form. So you multiply by x squared over R. You get x squared y double prime plus x times p times x p squared over r y prime plus q x squared over r y is equal to 0. And this is sort of the new P, and this is the new Q, tilde. So we can say that this equation has a regular singular point at x equal to 0 if those coefficients, if P tilde and Q tilde, are analytic. So if, sorry, not p squared, xp. Sorry. If xp over r and q, sorry, x squared q over r are analytic near 0, meaning they have a power series expanded. So again, basically I'm studying the general quadratic equation in which these two conditions are met. Okay. Now the how. So, how? So, first of all, we imitate the previous situation, and we try x to the alpha in the equation that approximates this one. Sorry, not this one. I'm back to this version. Okay. So not this version even. I'm back to this version. Sorry. This is the equation I'm really studying. So the equation that approximates this one, assuming that P and Q are analytic, is when you replace P and Q by their zeroth order approximation. So you try x to the alpha in x squared plus, sorry, x squared y prime, double prime, plus x P0 y prime plus Q0 y is equal to zero. And, well, you feed it in, you see what happens, and you will find, you know what, even if maybe I'll call this L of y, so you will find that L, or maybe L0 of y, you will find that L0 of y, or L0 of x to the alpha, is equal to F alpha times x to the alpha. Basically, you differentiate twice, that lowers the power of alpha by of x by 2, but then you add 2. And this lowers the power of x by 1, and then you add 1. And here there is no change. So you simply get a multiple of x to the alpha. What's the multiple? The multiple will be some function of alpha, where f of alpha is equal to, so where's f of alpha coming from? So from here I will get alpha times alpha minus 1, because I'm differentiating twice. So it's alpha plus, sorry, alpha times alpha minus 1, plus, from here I will just get alpha, but multiplied by p0, and from here I will just get q0. Okay? Now, this is a quadratic polynomial in alpha. Let's call this quadratic polynomial the, what is it called? The indicial polynomial? And anyway, if I wanted solutions, this indicial polynomial would have to be zero. So I study f of alpha is equal to zero, and I get two solutions, generally speaking. So alpha is equal to alpha 1 or alpha 2, and of course there is a mess, because the two could be equal, the two could be complex, there are various, once it's quadratic equations, it's a bit more interesting than linear equations. So anyway, the next thing is to try, so we now try in the original equation, so in the equation over there, x squared y double prime plus x p y prime plus q y is equal to zero, we try the same as before. So y is equal to sum sum as n goes from zero to infinity, x to the n plus alpha, and again I may as well assume that a alpha is not zero, well in fact I will assume that it's equal to 1. Sorry, a 0 is equal to 1. So that's, I try this, and again I get the recursion relation, and the recursion relation was derived by Jordan last time, so I'll just write what it is. It turns out to be f of alpha plus n, same f as here, times a n is equal to negative sum k 0, k going from 0 to n minus 1, AK, I'm copying Jordan exactly from his blackboard from last time. Alpha plus K PN minus K plus QN minus K. Whatever, something. Yes?
Does that not have a coefficient of Y, the power series over there on just the line above the bottom?
Oh, of course it does. Sorry. AN. Of course. Sorry, it's good that you're catching. I tend to get, well, carried away and then make mistakes. Okay. A different way of saying it. Okay. A different way of saying it. Is AN is equal to 1 or minus 1 over F of alpha plus N times the same thing. Okay? And then the situation gets complicated. Okay? So basically, the nicest case, or the case that actually works the best, is if there is never a zero in the denominator here. So if the two roots are different from each other, well, first of all, we want two solutions, so we better use so it's better if the two roots are different from each other, okay. And the second is that I want the denominator to never be zero. Okay? So the easiest case is the case where alpha 1 is different from alpha 2, and the difference between alpha 1 and alpha 2 is not an integer, so that you never get zero in the denominator here. So alpha 1 minus alpha 2 is not an integer. I suppose if it's not an integer in particular, they're different. Okay, so this is the easiest case. In that case, you get two solutions. You get a solution y1, in which looks like x to the alpha 1 times a power series, which starts with 1. So sum a n x to the n, but this is a sum n goes from 1 to infinity. And a second solution, y2, which looks like x to the alpha 2 times, well, the same thing, but with different coefficients. So 1 plus sum n goes from 1 to infinity, bn x to the n. Okay? And again, you can write the coefficient, you can write recursion relation for finding an from here. I've essentially written it already. Okay? Now, in this recursion relation, the same phenomena that allowed for Fuchs's theorem to work still works. Namely, well, you get something linear in n in the numerator, so this is linear in n, but you divide by something quadratic. So overall, the nth coefficient is 1 over n times a messy formula. And then you run it through the same Fuchs machinery, and everything works. So in fact, Fuchs's theorem still holds. I mean, this requires a verification. You have to run the machine once again, but once you run it, nothing interesting happens. So all power series converge. Okay? And I think I want to give an example, or maybe even two examples. So, example. Example, what do solutions of y double prime plus 1 over 2x squared plus 1 over 2, 1 minus x squared, all of this multiplying y equals 0, look like near x equals 0. So, you know, I could expand and write a power series, but I don't need to. All I need to know is that this, the behavior is dominated by these powers, by the ones, essentially. The behavior is dominated by the ones, but the one multiplies x to the alpha. Okay, so I just need to know what alpha 1 and alpha 2 are. The rest will be relatively small, okay, at x equals to 0. So I need to write f of alpha. So what is f of alpha here? F of alpha always is alpha times alpha minus 1 minus p0 alpha, no, minus or plus q0. And in our case, it's alpha times alpha minus 1 plus, so p0 is 0, there is no p in this equation. Q0 is the, first thing I have to do is to multiply it by x squared, right? I want to bring it to have an x squared at the front. Okay, so if I multiply it by x squared, this becomes x squared plus 1 half plus x squared divided by 2 times 1 minus x squared, x squared y double prime, y is equal to 0. Okay, now I'm happy with this, there is still no p. And the constant term here is clearly 1 half. Because if you put x here, x equal to 0 here, you get no division by 0, nothing. So this just vanishes. So you get 1 half. So q0 is equal to 1 half. And this I want to set equal to 0. Well, that's a quadratic equation. You go home, you solve it. Oh my god, you really should go home and solve it. And you get alpha is equal to 1 half plus or minus 1 half I. And that was somehow the point. The point is the I. Okay? The point is that the behavior will... imaginary things. Imaginary things tend to lead to cosines and sines, and later we will see that indeed they do. So the behavior near zero will actually be oscillatory. It will look like this. So with more and more vibrations as you come nearer and nearer to zero, I guess I'll do it next time. Okay, sorry.